Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, is where we'll spend the rest of our morning together. It's always an interesting time. I want to take a minute and thank those who work with our children. Sometimes they get a little bit overlooked. You know, they spend their time downstairs, a lot of that, and we don't get to see them, but what a blessing it is to have kids. I spoke with a lady this week who said, you know, I just love hearing kids in church. You know, and it is such a blessing to my heart to hear kids in church, because that means life and that means hope. You know, and for us, as we get to share with the children, they did a tremendous, tremendous job. I know the folks that have worked with them have been working very. How many of you ever tried to work with kids and organize something like that? Some of you, it's your profession to try to herd children. So you know the challenge that it is. And so they did a great job putting that together. What a blessing it is to hear the hope of Jesus through the voices of children. So we're glad that we got to be a part of that this morning. And if you've been with us for any amount of time, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, our children's program looked a little bit different, didn't it? So what a great thing it was to see so many kids up on stage sharing that story with us this morning. So in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, we're going to be in verses 21 through 33 this morning. I want to give us kind of a brief overview. We won't spend a great deal of time as we got to enjoy the children. Some people don't believe I can preach a sermon in 15 minutes, so we're going to see. So hope you got lunch. We'll just keep on cruising, right? So just wait to eat your popcorn bowl until you leave. So Zelma, is it okay if I just share a little bit of your testimony about this past week? Is that okay? I just want to, most of you guys probably know Zelma has been struggling with back pain over the last 44 days. Is what she shared with me this morning, and she had a tremendously difficult week, and prayed for God's healing, and he touched her this week, and she's here with us today, and in a moment, God relieved her from her back pain, and it's a tremendous testimony of God's miracle hand in our lives. Sometimes we kind of brush over those ideas, but God is a tremendous God who knows our cares, knows our needs, and touches us in our most difficult times. So we're blessed to have Zelma back here with us this morning and to hear the powerful testimony of how God continues to work in our bodies and in our lives. So Luke chapter 2, we were in Luke chapter 2 last week, and we're going to pick up in an interesting part in the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2 contains really the bulk, if you know much about the Gospel of Luke. Luke was probably the most detailed of gospel writers, the gospels being Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke was a doctor, he was well educated, and so he took a great deal of time to detail some of the more, what we would maybe think, insignificant details about the Christmas story. But in Luke chapter 2, we find really the beginning of the Christmas story, and we really even get to see glimpses into the childhood of Jesus. And I thought this was an interesting segue based on what we just got to see with our children's ministry and our children's Christmas program, that here we find a picture of Jesus as a young child and a man named Simeon. So starting in Luke chapter 2, verse 21, it says this: "When the eighth day was completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. And when the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, were finished, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord: every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Verse 25. "There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple complex. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, 'Now, Master, you can dismiss your slave in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, You have prepared it in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. See, the story of Simeon is a story that often is overlooked in the Christmas story. Remember, this was just a mere few days after Jesus' birth. But here a man, Simeon, that we talk about very, very rarely, gives us a picture into the importance of our knowledge and understanding and how we seek after Jesus. This morning, I want to give us five brief observations about who Simeon was and the role that he played in the Christmas story. The first thing I want us to recognize is those who look for Jesus will find him. You see, verse 25 reminds us of who Simeon was and that he was a man devout. You look at verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Now, that seems like a strange place to interject the idea of the Holy Spirit, but God's presence, the Holy Spirit, if you remember on the day of Pentecost, was given to the church. And up until that moment in time, they had gone, they had interceded based on the sacrificial system. But the Holy Spirit here was working in Simeon's life. And the interesting thing about Simeon is the character that he's described as. It uses two different words to describe Simeon there in verse 25. What are those two words? Righteous and devout. Righteous and devout. That Simeon was a man who sought God and that he was committed to seeking God. You see, there's a difference. Righteousness is not righteousness based on what we can do or what we can provide, but it is looking towards the commands of God and living our life committed to those things. Devotion is something that we don't talk about very often in our world, but is desperately needed. You see, Simeon here at this point in time in history had been clinging to a promise of the Messiah. If you remember last week, we talked a little bit about what had come. If you remember the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, there was about a 400-year period of silence. Now, how many of you would give up hope after 400 years? After 400 years, how many of you give up hope after 40 minutes? You know, some of us really struggle at the end of my sermons to still be paying attention. But you see, Simeon was a man who knew the promises of God. He had committed his life to following him and was looking forward to the promise of Jesus. But you see, oftentimes I think we miss the promise of Jesus. We overlook the issues that we find in Scripture because so often we are too busy. So you may be familiar with Henry David Thoreau. He makes this observation. Many an object is not seen, though it falls within the range of the visual eye. You see, Thoreau continued his statement in recognizing that it's not necessarily vision that teaches us, but it's observation that we learn. You see, just because you can't see doesn't mean you can't learn. The question is, are we looking? And when we talk about busyness is a unique thing that occurs in every one of our lives. Now, does that make it unique at all? No. But a lot of times when we talk about, oh, we're just so busy, and I'll be the first one to tell you, how many of you, don't raise your hand because I'd probably be a little embarrassed, have walked into my office or maybe talked to me on the phone or saw me in town and you said, how's everything going? And I said, oh, it's busy. You ever heard me say that? Now, it probably is busy. But how often is busyness our choice? You see, the difficulty, particularly during the Christmas season, is that busyness is not unique. Busyness is something that happens to all of us, but busyness is a decision that each and every one of us make. During the Christmas season, there's so much chaos, there's so many things that are happening, that we've got to go here, we've got to do that, that we forget to be watching for Jesus. Simeon, here in this story, even though there seemed to be very little hope, was watching for Jesus. See, a second thing I want us to recognize here about Simeon is that in this moment, this busy, hectic time that was occurring in the life of Simeon and in Jerusalem in that moment, is that he wasn't, that oftentimes we're not just busy, but we're preoccupied. We're preoccupied with the things of life, the things that we think are important. The things that we find value in are what we identify with. You see, Simeon, in those two words describing him as righteous and devout, was not preoccupied with all the things that were happening in Jerusalem, but rather was waiting for the word of the Lord, to know that Jesus had come, that Jesus was in their midst. And he wasn't preoccupied with all the hectic things or the busyness that surrounded, but he took a moment and he watched. You see, the question this morning, church, is what are we preoccupied with? Not just what are we busy with, but what draws our attention away? What are we preoccupied with? Are we really watching for Jesus? When we talk about Christmas and we identify the reason for the season, as it's been stated, and so often, even though we're talking about Jesus, we're preoccupied with the holiday celebrating Jesus. Does that make sense? When we get so caught up and preoccupied with all the things that we have to do that we overlook the most important thing given to us. You see, the last thing we'll identify about Jesus or Simeon looking for Jesus is that oftentimes we have no expectations. No expectations. That's difficult for many of us to accept. We take a moment and say, well, of course we expect God to work. Of course we expect God to do this. But much like the nation of Israel, 400 years had passed and they thought, God's already moved beyond this. This isn't going to happen. This is not important anymore. And they lost their expectations. See, church, I think sometimes when we look at our relationship with Christ that we really don't expect much. We don't expect him to come. We don't expect him to show up. But what we recognize about Simeon is that Simeon was a man who looked through the eyes of faith, not through the eyes of himself. You see, you look at Simeon, he was not looking at his expectations. He was not looking at the things that he could provide, but rather he was looking through the eyes of faith, knowing that God would be the one to provide those things. And the second thing, maybe the most important thing that Simeon did, was that he kept looking even through moments of discouragement. You see, during Christmas, we often are preoccupied, we're busy, we have little expectation of good things happening. But how many of us have ever just been discouraged and we quit looking? Maybe we've been so beat down that we look and we think there's no way God can intervene in the midst of this mess. So the second thing I'll share with you about Simeon is that Simeon is that many times the assurance comes before the answer. You see, Simeon was righteous and devout. Verse 26 reminds us it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. You see, the hope that Simeon clung to was a promise given to him years before. And sometimes when we're given those promises, we don't cling to that truth. Rather, we live based on circumstance rather than trust. Simeon didn't do that. Simeon placed his faith in God, and no matter what came, he knew that God would provide his promise. A third thing is that Simeon came to the right place to find Jesus. Now, you can be in the right place at the wrong time or the wrong place at the right time, but I think there's something to be said about being at the right place at the right time. Simeon here in Jerusalem, and if we can take a moment and we kind of picture Jerusalem during this time period. This was a moment of celebration for the nation. They had come together. They were in the temple complex. Millions of people literally come to this city of Jerusalem, and there was a lot of chaos. There were a lot of things happening. But what we know about Simeon is that he was watching and waiting, and he found himself in the right place. He found himself in the right place because he trusted and was obedient to God. You look at verse 27. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple complex when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law. You see, this was no accident. Simeon was guided by the Spirit. Now, it's oftentimes hard to hear the Holy Spirit. Why is it hard for us to hear the Holy Spirit? Let's go back to those first three things I shared with you. Busyness, preoccupation, and what else? No expectations. We don't expect to hear God speak to us. We don't expect to see God work in our lives. We don't expect God to provide those things that we've asked for. But yet Simeon was in the right place at the right time and listening for God's direction. The Spirit guided Simeon to be in the place where Jesus would come. See, that as we recognize this place, Jesus had come, they had brought Jesus to the temple because it was customary. But there's something important about the place. And I think I want to take just a minute as we look at these verses this morning to recognize the role of God's people. And when I speak of the God's people, I want us to look specifically at God's church. And I use that term very purposely. This is not my church. This is not anybody else's church. This is God's church. And you see, Simeon came to the temple because that's where God's people would be. So let me give you three different things that the church is called to be and what we find here exemplified in Simeon's encounter. First, the church exists for the Father. It exists to worship Him and Him alone. Secondly, the church exists for each other. It exists for you and for me. And thirdly, the church exists for the world. See, Jesus, as He was brought into the temple, was being there, that the presence of God dwelling amongst His people brought worship for Simeon. It brought hope for the rest of the world. And that's what we're called to do. You see, the declaration that Simeon makes in these final verses, as we look at the fourth and fifth element, is this, that he personally received Jesus. You see, Simeon found himself in the right place in the right time. His eyes and mind and heart were focused on God's direction. But we also know that his heart was open to receiving the truth and the promise that had been given. Let me read verses 29 through 32 for you one more time. You see, this is the hope of the Christmas story. We talk about Christmas, we know the story of Christmas, but Simeon's words summarize for us the hope that we celebrate during this season and each and every day of our lives as we have a personal relationship with Christ. He says, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your slave in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." You see, Simeon, as he makes this statement, it seems like a dark statement. But when we receive Jesus, like Simeon, we're ready to die. Now, it's not just a physical death. It's a spiritual death, that we die to sin and we live to Christ. You see, that's the hope of the Christmas story. It says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." See, church, we've spent the last couple of months, if you remember in Thanksgiving, we talked about a season of thanks, and in the month of December, we talked about a season of giving. This morning, I want to tell you about the gift that you can receive. See, the gift that has been given to us through Christ, just like Simeon received in that moment, have your eyes seen the salvation of the Lord? Are you trusting? Are you watching? Are you waiting for His hand to work in your life? You see, the greatest gift that we can be given was given to us on Christmas Day. The light of revelation is the light of Jesus, the hope in the world. See, the question that I ask you is, are you ready to die? It's not just a moment in time to where our life ends here on earth, but it's a death to sin. Are we ready to look to Jesus as our Lord and Savior and trust Him with the rest of our lives? You see, Simeon, in a moment of time, found himself in the right place, looking for the Lord, and he received. The verse 33 stands out to me as we remember the story of Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph, from this point forward, following chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, we don't hear much about. But one of my favorite verses about Mary is the verse that tells us, "And she treasured these things in her heart." You see, Mary and Joseph observed God's work in their lives, and there were moments in time to where their eyes were open to His continual provision for them. See, maybe you're a believer today. Maybe you have accepted the salvation that's promised here, the salvation that Simeon received in that moment in time. But when was the last time we looked at God's work in our life and just like Mary and Joseph, were amazed? Let me read verse 33 to you this morning. His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Church, I'm not sharing with you any new stories. I can't tell you any new information about Christmas. I didn't know superheroes were involved, so that's a plus for today. We all learned something. You see, but the truth of Christmas is that God sent his one and only Son to live a life here on earth, to show us what it meant to live. He died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day. See, that's the hope of Christmas. It's not just a baby born in a miraculous manner. It's not just a man who came here and lived a good life. It's a story of Jesus coming and giving his life for you. You see, that's the greatest gift that we can receive. This Christmas season, don't get too busy. Don't become so preoccupied. Don't have no expectations that God can work in the midst of your life circumstance. Because just like Mary and Joseph, we have the opportunity each and every moment to stand amazed, knowing that God works, he continues to provide, and points us in directions that maybe we had no idea he could ever work. Is your hope in that gift this morning as the worship team comes?